Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots nonprofit radio station in Laguna Beach from anywhere in the world on kx93.5.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. Right now, here's the Importance of Being podcast on KX93.5.
KXRN LP Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach. Member supported KX93.5.
All right, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 a.m. to 10, and it features live and unscripted conversations with people making a difference. All right, this is KX93.5, and this is the Importance of Being show. We'll be back in just a bit.
So they told me, hold him while you can. And he showed me how it is to know a man. And it all seems right when we talk through the
thank you. some mountain state test that I carried back east in my bag. And then on to you, and the next thing I knew, my city had more than it had. In one day, nothing without providence, they say. I hope you can love me a long way from home, because that's where I'll be. Bars on the block. We're changing the game, never the same. You can't argue with this little clock. And you said you were fine, but a ship is betrayed by its ensign. A good distance away, it will still shine.
Alrighty, this is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I am happy to have as my guest a moment I've been waiting for quite some time, Cynthia Weitz. And hi, Cynthia.
Hi, Ernest. Thank you for inviting me.
You can get a little bit closer to the mic.
All right. I'll do that.
So, Cynthia, you're an author.
Yes.
And you have a couple of books here. I guess this is part of the Feisty series. But how did you decide to be an author? Or did you start out that way and you've done a bunch of stuff?
Well, I was actually a veteran of the publishing industry, but I was in marketing research for such companies as McCall's Magazine. And I don't know if you remember, did you watch Mad Men?
Not a lot, oh. But I saw some. I'm certainly familiar with it and aware of what they were talking
well,
about.
Well, they were associated with Danza Fitzgerald Sample in the show, and that's an ad agency, and that was my first job.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Was it like that with martinis? And
some of the ad agencies were, but this one was pretty tame.
Okay.
Yeah. J. Walter Thompson supposedly was pretty wild.
Oh, okay.
I don't even know if it's still in business, but anyway. And I was with Condé Nast Publications, published Vogue, Glamour, et cetera. And then in Hollywood, I was with Max Factor. And I used to be in marketing research and wrote a lot of reports. So I never thought I could do creative writing.
Oh, okay. So you were always kind of editorial content and...
Well, doing research and writing reports and things like that.
Okay.
It got a little boring, so I quit. And actually, I practiced interior design for a while.
Okay.
So I've done a lot of different things. But anyway, so what happened was my husband, unfortunately, passed away. And my only son took the bar and then went off to Africa for about 6 months.
Whoa.
So there I was at loose ends. and didn't know what to do with myself. And meanwhile, guess where he was when he found out that he passed the bar?
In Africa?
Yeah.
Where?
In, everybody says, oh, way off in...
deepest, darkest?
Timbuktu.
Oh, wow. There
yes.
you go.
See? So anyway, so I belong to AAUW, the branch here now in Laguna Beach, American Association of University Women.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And they had a literary luncheon, and I saw a book called Pen on Fire. And I bought it, and I read it, and I thought, maybe I really can write. So,
I guess you saw her writing?
No, well, Pen on Fire was encouraging people to write.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. And so you decided that you were going to start to do it. And so did you just start cranking out a manuscript, or how did that go?
Well, I took a lot of classes, and then I started writing short stories, and some of them were published. One was called My Suicidal Goldfish. And another one was called Ethiopian Heartbreak. I've traveled a lot, so okay. I have a lot of travel stories in my head. But anyway, so I had those published. And meanwhile, I was writing my first book, Feisty Old Ladies, which took me a very long time. And
so what was that process like? So before you've been writing reports and, you know, very... finite or at least visible goal, and then you start out with a piece of paper and a typewriter, or was it word processor?
Computer.
Okay,
yeah.
So you do it on a computer, and the thing is just flashing. And so, how was it to get started?
Well, I really wasn't sure of my topic at first, but then I thought, now what do I think about these days more than anything else? And I thought, I think about getting OLD.
Okay, yeah.
So,
I think we all, relatively speaking,
yes.
think the same thing.
So then I thought, well, okay, so if your hair is turning gray, you can dye it. You can't do too much about your wrinkles. You can't do much about your shrinking, except my protagonist, Margot. She did try to do something else about it, and she used to run around in stilettos.
Oh, okay.
Which is what is on the cover of my first book.
Right, with the dangers.
With the danger tape, yes. And so on the very first page, she is at a museum waiting for a friend, and I don't know if you're familiar with the Los Angeles Art Museum.
Mm-hmm.
You used to enter through a big flight of stairs. And so she's standing at the edge of the flight of stairs, waving madly, and she falls down the stairs.
Oh.
So, of course, she gets beaten up, and she ends up in rehab. And the thing that she's worried the most about is her face. So she is in there recovering and hoping that she hasn't totally ruined herself. And in comes the love of her life, Hans, who is a continental Danish man.
Okay.
And he assures her that she still looks wonderful, and so life does go on. But then she ends up in rehab, and she tangles with the head nurse while she's there.
So like physical therapy type of rehab?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And she tangles with the head nurse, who becomes a very strong character in the book. And then she ends up living in the skilled care section. And she's very unhappy. She hates it. She hates the regimentation. And she doesn't know what to do with herself. And then she meets two other women who are like her, and they decide to stir up things.
Ah, and so that starts the feistiness?
That starts the feistiness.
Okay, and so was this a story that was kind of percolating in your own mind for some time, and like, or pieces of it separately, or did you outline a narrative? How did you come up with a story?
I'm not that much of an outliner. I'm what we call a pantser, who writes from the seat of his or her pants.
Oh, nice. Yes.
So, but things come to you and they pop into your head. And so, anyway, I then one of the topics that I address besides I'll tell you a bit about Margot first. She's a very zany lady. She's very social. She sits on boards. She writes. She travels. She wears exotic jewelry. She's very, very attractive for somebody who's 60 plus. And by the way, my heroine will always be 60 plus. I will never age her.
So she's not going to get into her 90s.
No, no,
not
no.
Not on your watch.
I don't think so. But anyway, right now, no. Anyway, so what happens is she gets a letter from the court saying that her relatives, her nephew and niece, are suing to become her conservators. Hmm. And I'll tell you the reason I brought that in.
Okay.
When I first moved to this...
I mean, it's a clear and present danger for older people.
Oh, definitely. But when I first moved here, which was in about the late 1980s...
Oh, you're getting away from the mic again.
Oh, I'm sorry. I will lean in and talk louder.
Lean in like Cheryl.
Okay, I will lean in. So, yeah. She gets a letter from the court saying her relatives want to become her conservator, and I deliberately tackled that subject because when I first moved here, there was an attorney who lived or worked or was associated with Leisure World, and he would convince people to let him become their conservators.
Oh.
And then he would bilk them out of a lot of money.
Yeah, that sounds like good business.
Yes. So the interesting thing is when I recently did an interview on the Laguna Woods TV station, and after the interview, one of the technicians came over to me and said, oh, I think I know who you were talking about. His name is so-and-so.
Blah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. And I said, oh, you know him. He said, well, I knew his sons, so I knew the family. And I said, did he go to jail? And he said, no, but he was fined severely.
Right.
I was very disappointed he didn't go to jail. But anyway, so that gave me the idea for the conservatorship.
Okay.
And so Margot was stunned. All her friends are stunned that anyone would dare to suggest that she needed a conservator. Anyway, she and her friends decide to volunteer in the skilled care section. And while she's there, she becomes very friendly with two patients in particular. One is, she calls him Joe the Jokester because he's always making knock-knock jokes. I don't know if you realize it, but there are men of a certain age who love to tell knock-knock jokes or make puns.
Well, I understand the pun part, but the knock-knock jokes, you think that ends like around middle school.
Well, apparently certain men adopt it. So he's always making knock-knock jokes and flirting with her. And all of a sudden, one day she finds out that he passed away.
Okay.
She's very surprised, and she can't figure the whole thing out. So she starts asking questions. And then someone else, whom she calls Pete the Punster, he falls out of bed and breaks his leg.
Ooh.
And he goes to the hospital, and he does not come to a good end. So now she's really suspicious. So she starts becoming an accidental sleuth.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
And so then you have a murder mystery or some kind of mystery, conservatorship mystery, I guess.
Well, it's a mystery prompted by the conservatorship makes her work and volunteer in skilled care, but then the mystery develops while she's working there.
Got it.
And her handsome boyfriend is not very happy about the whole thing.
Yeah.
And they both start flirting with different people, so their romance is up and down and up and down. But anyway, then one of her other favorite patients is... falls into a coma, and she can't figure out why either.
So there's all kinds of, and it's still ongoing, whatever this issue is.
Right.
So, again, back to you as an author, are you the type of person who writes every day? Are you the type of person who goes on a binge? How does it work for you? What's your process?
Well, when I first started writing, I just wrote for hours. I would forget to eat. I would forget to go to the restroom. It was really very silly. And then I don't do that anymore.
No more forgetting.
No, it was too hard on me.
Yeah.
So that's the way it used to be. And now I write a few hours a day. And
okay, so you're a dutiful writer.
Yeah.
And how was it to kind of shift from being directed and having someone tell you what to do, and then you know, it's just you?
Well, I'm like Margot. I don't like being told what to do.
Oh, so you did it for a while, though.
Well, I was never that directed.
Okay.
But I was somewhat. It wasn't a matter of being directed. It was a matter of being creative, and I think the more I do it, the easier it becomes. And friends or people I know who have read my books just think I have a really good sense of humor, and they really enjoy reading it.
Oh, good.
And the other thing is that most of the action takes place around here, especially in my first book.
Landmarks,
Laguna Hills, Laguna Beach. There's a lot of going to restaurants and eating good food. There's a lot of visiting well-known sites, museums, and different things like that. So people enjoy it because they think, oh, I've been there, and I've been there.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Now, the second book, Feisty Old Gangbusters, happened after the first book because I don't want to tell you what happened.
Yeah, good. Actually, we should take a break. I want to remind the listeners that this is KX93.5, and you're listening to The Importance of Being Show. Today, my guest is Cynthia Weitz, and she has written a series of books, or at least two so far, The Feisty Old Ladies and Feisty Old Gangbusters. We'll be back in just a bit with more from Cynthia. This is KX93.5.
Just want to satisfy, though you're not mine, I can't deny. talk about bliss spirit when you're holding the roof up and knee deep in it. And the pictures and the papers got ruined by the rain, and we wondered if they'd ever get dry again. But I don't want to spend the whole of my life indoors, laying low and waiting on the next storm. I don't want to spend the whole of my life inside. I want to step out and face the sunshine. Shutters, raise up the mast. Rejoice, rebuild, the storm is past. Cast off the crutches, cut off the cast. Rejoice, rebuild, the storm is past. Rejoice.
Well, well. Okay, this is KX93.5. You're listening to the Importance of Being show. Today, my guest is Cynthia Weitz, and she is an author. She has written a couple of books with the word feisty in common. So feisty old ladies, feisty old gangbusters. I guess it's a series. So we can't talk much about gangbusters because we give away the ending for old ladies.
I can tell you a little bit about the ending. The ending, of course, Margot and her friends solve the crime.
Then they're not going to buy the book.
Well, except that you don't know what happened, how she
solved. Oh, how we arrived there?
How you get there,
okay.
Yes.
Okay. But I really want to dive in a little bit more into your process of developing the narrative or your process as an author. So did you know what you were going to – you said you were a pantser, which is seat of your pants, but was it, well, how did you know that it was going to be a book?
Well, it was always going to be a book. And the thing about, I find about writing, and other writers say the same thing, is they get taken over by their characters. Their characters.
That's where I wanted to go.
The characters tell them what to do.
So they have, you kind of infuse them with some characteristics or a personality.
Yes.
And then that takes its course. And it just runs in your mind, and you can't go the other way.
Sometimes authors do a treatment of different characters. And I have done that a little bit. I did a treatment of Hans. I didn't do it so much.
And by treatment, you mean?
Well, you sit down and you write all the things you know about him, what he has done, what he's going to do. And by the way, he used to be a race car driver, and now, in the book, he owns a Mercedes dealership,
okay.
and another dealership where he supplies parts for Mercedes cars.
And so, this was your first novel. And so when the characters started taking over, was there any kind of tension there between what you thought they wanted, you wanted them to do, and what they did organically?
No, I don't think there was tension, but there was a lot of excitement. You know, the best thing that could happen to an author is for them to get hot about what they're writing, and then when that happens, you sit down and it just practically writes itself. And
okay.
In fact, one time I was at Costco waiting for them to put tires on my car. And all
truly the, mundane activity.
Yes, and it was a rainy, awful day, and so I couldn't sit outside, so I was pushing a cart around Costco, and I wrote a short story in my head.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't have any paper or anything to write it down, so I ran home and wrote it down. And it's going to be part of a collection that I'm going to be putting
out. Oh, really?
Out. Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so how long did it take you to write Feisty Old Ladies?
Too long.
Well, I was looking more for a number.
Oh, several years.
Okay.
So anyway, after writing Feisty Old Lady and thinking about the sequel, I decided the... all the characters, Margot and her two partners, Nancy and Jane, are very fashion-oriented. They've had backgrounds in fashion. And so they decide to open a factory in a place that I call El Rio, which is actually Santa Ana.
Okay.
So that's where the gangs come in.
Oh,
yes.
Well, right. Gangbusters.
Yes.
Dun-up, ba-dum, ba-dum.
Yeah. So they open a factory in an absolutely gorgeous old... Spanish colonial building. I don't know. Have you ever been to the Santora building in Santa Ana?
I'm not sure.
You should go. It's fabulous. They have open house one Saturday night a month, and okay. They have showrooms, and they have art galleries and all different things. The nature of it has changed somewhat. It's not what it used to be, but it's still interesting.
Yeah,
things
continue to flow.
Right. But it is, the architecture is incredible. If you look it up online, you get a picture of it that will knock your socks off.
I will do that.
Oh, good. So anyway, they move into a building that is identical to the Santora building. They move into a building that's identical to the Santora building, but I call it the Mercado.
Okay.
Yes.
The market.
Yeah.
And so then they have their other kind of, I guess, dramatic or narrative arc dealing with some of the residents or denizens of
yes.
that community.
Yes, they find themselves harassed by the gangs. And on top of it, there's another element that arrives. There's a little boy who lives next door with his brother who's a gang member. So gang members hang out at the apartment all the time, and they overlook the property. They overlook the Mercado building.
Mm-hmm.
And Margot falls in love with a little boy who's 10 years old.
Okay.
Maybe he's 8. I can't remember. Isn't that funny? But anyway, her boyfriend disapproves, but anyway, he is a very strong part of the narrative.
Okay.
So I throw a big wedding for Hans and Margot at the Ritz-Carlton.
Well, at least you don't have a bill for that.
No, I wouldn't want to pay the bill as I
right.
described it. The food and everything. Oh, my goodness. But anyway.
That's the beauty of imagination.
Yes, and then...
bill's not yours.
Oh, I should talk about imagination a little bit because... Margot is just a stunning woman, and she looks nothing like me. She's very tall, and she has dark curly hair. And in fact, I picture her as Auntie Mame. Do you remember that movie?
I do not.
You don't, Auntie Mame. You must be lots younger than I am. Anyway,
I'm still young and cool. That is correct.
Okay. Well, anyway, you might want to see it. It's fun. So Auntie Mame was a woman who, a single woman who did all these zany things, and she was played by Rosalind Russell. Do you remember her?
Barely.
Barely. Okay.
Barely.
So I picture Margot as Rosalind Russell.
Okay.
And And so anyway, so I can, I've incorporated a lot of the things that I like. Like Margot loves to read. She loves exotic jewelry. just different things that are like me. And she loves art. And she loves clothes.
all these things that you adore.
All the things that I love. And then a lot of what I want to be. She's a wannabe for me, too.
Oh, okay. So like an alter ego.
Yes.
And so are your characters generally pieces of you?
There's a lot of me in there, but, you know, of course, Hans is different. But one of the things I wanted to mention is that one of the important things in writing is character arc. Do characters change?
Okay.
And Margot definitely does in the first book because... the other topic I address besides the conservatorship is ageism, getting older and what happens and how people feel about it and what they do to deal with it. And so when Margot first lives in this place she calls the home, she's really unhappy and she sort of looks down at the people, but mm-hmm. then she develops a lot of empathy for them and
okay.
she tries to make their lives more interesting.
Hmm.
And in the second book, Hans is the person who goes through a character arc because he's dead set against Margot's love for this little boy, Felipe. And yet, as time goes on, he gets to like him and he wants to help him and wants to make his life better. So I like having character arcs in my book.
That where the character, or at least a character, develops along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you had started to talk about imagination,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know if you finished that thought, but is it something that you're actively imagining, like, oh, they're going to have a wedding, or does it just, you know, flow from the characters and...
No, I imagine they were going to have a wedding, and I'm an old researcher, so there's a lot of research that goes into my books.
Oh, okay.
And so, you know, I researched where the wedding would be, what they would eat, and the whole thing.
As if it was your daughter.
Yeah, I think I threw a wedding, which I never will, because I don't have a daughter, and my son swears he's never going to get married, so... that was my only chance.
That was your only chance.
So I decided to make it as expensive and lavish as I possibly could.
And you sent your son a book with those passages highlighted.
No, it's not going to do any good. He's just not going to. He likes to travel too much.
Ah.
But anyway, so. As far as imagination goes, you have to use your imagination. You have to be creative, otherwise you can't write
right
well. But anyway, so that was a lot of fun. And the other thing I've had a lot of fun with, and this doesn't affect these two books so much, but I'm putting together a collection of stories that happen in Eastern Europe and the United States, and it's about... people who have lived in those situations, and many of them who have immigrated to the United States. And I've had some fun. Oh, I'll get back to something else. But
get
anyway.
Back to, you've had some fun.
I've had some fun making characters come alive.
Okay.
I have in my second book, in Feisty Old Gangbusters, I have one area where they have I have to tell you, it's not really a giveaway. In the second book, Feisty Old Gangbusters, Margot trips and falls again, but this time she trips over the body of her manager.
Oh, that, yeah, no bueno.
Of her foreman, yeah.
Yeah, no bueno.
No es bueno. So anyway, she decides to have a memorial service for him, and okay. I have the padre. I gave him the name of one of my husband's friends who was a priest.
Ah.
And so I brought him back to life for a few pages.
So, you know, you've mentioned ageism, and certainly you're mature and your characters are mature. Are you trying to work through something in this process?
Yeah, definitely trying to work through something. For one thing, Margot tries every beauty treatment she can get her hands on. And then, you know, the whole story of having respect for people who are older, how they're really a treasure trove of experience and
Absolutely.
Information. Yeah, and if more people realize that, it would be wonderful. Instead of thinking about people being put in a, being confined
yeah,
somewhere away from the public eye.
Yeah. Oh, and so that is that a theme that's weaving through that there's value.
Yes, definitely, and in fact, my
experience.
Yes, absolutely, and there is value in an experience. And the first book was reviewed by Kirkus, a very well-known company that reviews books, and the whole review was very positive. In the last paragraph, they talk about how I deal with ageism. And how important it is.
All right. Yeah. Wow. All right, we're going to take a quick break. This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. My guest this morning is Cynthia Weitz, and she has written two books, Feisty Old Ladies and Feisty Old Gangbusters. You should read Old Ladies first. All right, this is KX93.5.
Drifting through the halls with the sunrise, holding on for your coat, climbing up the walls for that flashing light. I can never let go, 'cause I'm gonna be free and I'm gonna be fine. Holding on for your coat, 'cause I'm gonna be free and I'm gonna be fine. Maybe not tonight. It's a different kind of danger.
keep dragging them around.
This is KX93.5. You're listening to The Importance of Being Show. I'm your host, Ernest Hackman. We do this show live every Sunday morning from 9 to 10. And today I have as my guest Cynthia Weitz, and she is an author. She's written two books so far. I suspect that there are more in there, and they are Feisty Old Ladies and Feisty Old Gangbusters, a series. We were talking off mic, and there was something you wanted to say, and I, for the life of me, I cannot remember what it was.
Well, I was going to tell you a little more about names. How, what is fun is that
I play the name game.
I play with them a little bit. I've taken someone's middle name and last name and given it to a character, reversed it and given it to a character.
Yes.
And only people in my family recognize it and laugh, but nobody else really knows.
And so does that character end up being somewhat like that person?
No.
It's just a name.
No,
it's just a game you play with names.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, and that's fun. And then I told you about bringing back a deceased padre.
Okay.
And using him in Feisty Old Gangbusters. But you were going to ask me something.
I was, yes. Now I know. So when you're writing, are you thinking about your audience or your customer? You're probably thinking more of audience as opposed to customer, but where does that fit in for you?
Well, I'm just writing it the way I want to write it, but it just so happens that, well, I do like the idea that people who live in the area can relate to the places.
The landmarks and
the landmarks
kind of
and different things. And I do know that these books are more for women, although there are some men who like these books.
Okay.
I have a following. You know, I know I didn't write the great American novel, and I didn't mean to. It's a mystery, and I belong to Sisters in Crime, and and some of the...
Do you guys go out and do capers?
No, we actually don't commit crimes. We just...
Partners in crime, yeah.
We just write about them. And actually, okay. Even though it's called Sisters in Crime, we do have a few male members.
Oh.
Yes.
All right.
And some of the mysteries are based on history. I know one of the women writes about medieval history, and she carries weapons around with her that she has collected.
Get the feel of the mace.
Yes. And then there are people who write about cooking different cookies or different dishes.
Yeah, sure.
From
their experience.
Yeah, and that's then they'll do a whole cooking series. And somebody told me someone did a laundromat series, but I can't even imagine
that. That sounds random.
Yes, I think I should go to the library and see what's going on about that.
That sounds like it has a number of random elements to it.
But people have written me and said, you know, I had a relative who was in a nursing home, and they had a tough time. And I'm so glad you wrote about this, and I'm so glad you wrote about conservators, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, right. So then there's some element of sharing an experience or an educational component, if you will. All right. Well, so it's Feisty Old Ladies, Feisty Old Gangbusters, and where can people buy these if they want them?
Well, they're available on Amazon and Kindle, and your bookstore can order them for you.
Okay.
But I also want to tell you that my next book is going to be deal with an art museum. I was a docent at the Laguna Art Museum for almost 20 years.
Oh, so you've got a lot of rich experience to share and build a narrative around.
I do, but I don't think I can call it Feisty Old anything. I think I'm going to call it The Art of Murder.
Oh. Will it be a new character set?
No, it'll be the same, many of the same characters.
Okay.
And what I've been doing, I'm not quite sure of the plot. I have some ideas, and I have a folder full of notes that I've been keeping, and I'll have to see how it develops.
Well, wow. Well, I guess we'll have to stay tuned for that. Anyway, this is KX93.5. You've been listening to the Importance of Being show, and that's all the time we have. So happy Sunday, everyone.
So that was it.
Will I find my way out, or am I stuck in here forever? Forever.
boy, what does it take to be a man? Just a